and show you around imaginary places. Put money lumps in my bloody stump. Edible habits while there's a perfect circle.
Hey there, I'm Caitlin Daly, and you're listening to Listen Up, where we show you how to get more out of the music you love. In this episode, we're looking at one of the most important building blocks of music, melody. If we want the technical definition of a melody, we're talking about a succession of single notes that we perceive as a recognizable whole. It's the main tune. We could have had it all in the deep. The thing we most recognize. It's the melody! In the music biz, there are three different words that we use to talk about melodies. The first word that we use is contour, and this describes how a melody moves up and down. Imagine drawing a line that follows the shape of the melody, sneaking up and down when the notes move up or down. That's what we're really describing here. We use three ways to talk about how the contour moves: ascending, descending, and wave-like. If the notes move up, the melody is ascending. If the pitches are going down, the melody is a descending one. And if a melody goes up and down, then you guessed it, we call it wave-like.
Well, it's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes.
Now, when we talk about these three types of contours, we usually aren't talking about a whole song. Can you imagine if a song actually ascended for the entire time? It'd have to start down here and end all the way up here. Usually, we're just talking about sections of a song, particularly when we say that they're ascending or descending. We can also be talking about the overall direction of a melody. For example, the first verse of Melanie's Brand New Key is wave-like, but when you go line by line, each one ascends higher than the one before it. Let's take a listen.
I rode my bicycle past your window last night.
That is a melody's contour. The second word we use to talk about melodies is range. This is the total span of the melody's pitches, from the highest peak to the lowest valley. In other words, how big is the space between the lowest note and the highest note in the selected part of the song that we're talking about? This Amos Lee song has a pretty narrow range.
Well, I walked over the bridge into the city where I live, and I saw my old landlord.
This opening to a Tchaikovsky piano concerto is very wide. Most songs fall in the medium range, particularly in their choruses. There's always a big hubbub among talented artists about who has the biggest range. Watching any of those diva concerts that VH1 did back in the 90s will prove that one. Ironically, the singer with the largest range, according to a poll done a few years ago by concerthotels.com, doesn't belong to any of those divas. It belongs to Axl Rose. That's pretty awesome. Mariah Carey was a very close second, though. So if the range of a melody is its highest point and lowest valley, this still gives us room to talk about how the melody moves from note to note. This is called a melody's movement. A melody's movement can be static, which is basically when there are no spaces between notes. In other words, you're staying on the same pitch or returning to the same pitch incessantly. This is a normal trend in hip-hop.
I perform atomically. Socrates' philosophies and hypotheses. Can't define how I be dropping these mockeries.
A melody's movement can also be conjunct with small distances between the notes. For example, listen to this famous melody that moves mostly step by step.
Do, a deer, a female deer. Ray, a drop of golden sun.
The complete opposite of this is a disjunct melody. This means that the melody skips around a lot and that there are wide distances from note to note. One of the most famous melodies that is disjunct is none other than our own national anthem. Take a listen to the skips and leaps between all those notes. No wonder pop stars like to include runs in between the syllables to fill in all those huge gaps. Speaking of the national anthem, another point to the melody is its highest part, called the climax. The climax is the highest point of the melody, both in its range and in its intensity. The Star Spangled Banner has a pretty well-known climax when they sing "O'er the Land of the Free," as that's when all the pop stars try and see how they can outdo each other. Let's listen to a few famous Star Spangled Banner climaxes throughout the years. Here's Lady Gaga at last year's Super Bowl. This can't be outdone by Whitney's rendition in 1991. But out of all of them, Mariah Carey's 2002 climax could be heard by every single dog in America. Yikes, can you imagine how many howls were going on after that one? Have you ever heard a song that has two melodies going on at once? The answer is yes! This is called a counter melody, and happens when a second melody that can stand by itself is played at the same time as an original melody. There's a great one in the Beach Boys' God Only Knows. In this clip, towards the end of the song, you'll hear the main melody joined by a stretched out counter melody that has a larger range and ascends higher than the original melody. So we've discussed different parts of a melody: its contour, or how it moves up and down; its range, the span between its lowest and highest notes; and its movement, or how it moves from note to note. Let's move on to thinking about melodies on a bit of a bigger level. Phrases are the units that make up a melody, and cadences are the resting places at the end of those phrases. To think of it a different way, phrases are like the sentences of a melody, and cadences are like the punctuation. If I was to treat the first verse of Mariah Carey's "Always Be My Baby" like a poem and read it out loud, it might sound something like this. "We were as one, babe, for a moment in time, and it seemed everlasting that you would always be mine. Now you want to be free, so I'm letting you fly, because I know in my heart, babe, our love will never die." Now here's the tricky part. Our brains hear phrasing in different ways. The way that I read that made it sound like it had four phrases. Essentially, each line was its own phrase. But this time I'll read it again and make it sound like it only has two phrases. "We were as one, babe, for a moment in time, and it seemed everlasting that you would always be mine. Now you want to be free, so I'm letting you fly, because I know in my heart, babe, our love will never die." You can decide for yourself if you hear two or four phrases. Going back to cadences, there are two main types: those that are conclusive, or sound like they're finished and done, and those that are inconclusive, or sound like the music should keep going. To my ears, this Mariah Carey song has two phrases, one that ends on "mine" and another that ends on "die." But maybe your brain hears it differently than mine. Take a listen for yourself. Remember, you're listening for resting points, how many you hear, and if they sound like they're conclusive or inconclusive. "We was one, babe, for a moment in time, and it seemed everlasting that you would always be mine. Now you wanna be free, so I'm letting you fly, 'cause I know in my heart, babe, our love will never die, no more." So what did you think? Did you hear two or four phrases? If you're curious, you should ask some of your friends. I always love hearing how people's brains work differently than my own. Now, when we put all these things together, we start to really listen to music in a different way. Take a listen to this verse of a song done by country singer Alison Krauss with famous cellist Yo-Yo Ma. The lyrics are an old shaker tune that I bet you remember singing in elementary school. When true simplicity is gained, to bow and to bend we will not be ashamed. To turn, turn will be our delight, till by turning, turning we come round right. Listen to how the cello lines intersect with Alison Krauss's melodic lines. Listen as well to how the last line, turning, turning, we come round right, talks about landing in the right spot, and how the line ends on a conclusive cadence. It makes your head, heart, and ears very happy, and might even give you some goosebumps.
When true simplicity is gained, to bow and to bend, we will not be ashamed. To turn, turn will be our delight, till by turning, turning we come round right.
Well, hopefully your mind has been intrigued by listening to your favorite hits a bit more closely. Join us next time as we talk about rhythm, meter, and get our groove on with this song. I'm Caitlin Daly. The Listen Up podcast is produced by the New Haven Symphony Orchestra in partnership with 88.7 WNHU and the University of New Haven. For more, visit newhavensymphony.org.